Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, February 18th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start today with brute forcing passwords. OCL Hashcat released a new version now supporting additional password hashing algorithms, like for example the password-based key derivation function 2 and the PDF passwords that are used to encrypt PDFs. While we're talking about brute forcing passwords, Rob has some tips if you're trying to build a system to run passwords through OCL Hashcat. OCL Hashcat takes advantage of the processing power of graphics cards. We talked about this before, that graphic cards these days are a lot more powerful than many CPUs. But in order to use them efficiently, you'll need a system that supports several graphic cards, as many graphic cards as possible, actually. And that's where you run into problems with sort of standard servers and drivers, that they're just not built for someone to run tons and tons of graphic cards. Usually these graphic cards support in real life, if you actually use them as graphic cards, at least 2 monitors. So a lot of these drivers are maxed out at 4 graphic cards, which would correspond 8 monitors, about as many monitors as most users would ever want to connect. So Rob provides some tips as to how to build a system that actually supports more than these more of these graphic cards and enables them for efficient use with OCL Hashcat. And well, of course, what that means is passwords will be broken faster and easier, and Microsoft is promising to take another step to finally get us away from relying on passwords alone. Windows 10 should arrive with support for the FIDO Alliance two-factor authentication scheme. Talked about this before, and essentially right now it's implemented typically as a USB key with sort of a button that then does the key exchange. The neat thing is with Windows 10, it will be part of the operating system and can also be used to authenticate to cloud-based services like, for example, Office 365 Exchange Online, Salesforce, Citrix, Azure, and services like that. So that's hopefully a step forward with more universal, strong two-factor authentication. Now, if you haven't played yet with these FIDO Alliance keys, you can get them at Amazon for, I think, about $15. Now, right now, their use is a little bit limited. There aren't too many browsers that support them or too many websites that support them. But the neat thing about them is that they essentially create a new secret public key pair for each service, for each website that you connect to. So you essentially have a unique login for each one of these sites, and then the hardware device with this secret key and your password is used to authenticate to the website. Now, whenever you use public-private key pairs to authenticate, one of the problems is that you kind of want to use different private keys on different systems. So in case one of these systems gets compromised, the private key gets stolen, that you are not exposing any other systems. Shodan HQ did an interesting survey of SSH public keys. What they looked at is how many times these keys show up in the wild. And they found a number of keys that showed up hundreds of thousands of times, typically in devices deployed by ISPs. So these are, for example, routers that run Dropbox as an SSH server, and they all use the same public key, which of course means they also have the same private key. And in turn, this now means that if you have one of these devices, you of course can extract a private key and with that compromise any other system that shares the same private key. Essentially, this problem is similar to just using the same admin password for all devices for a particular ISP. And on that note, free BSD users, it's important for you to update to the latest kernel. Turns out the random number generator that was included in recent kernels is not really all that random and should be replaced. And researcher David Lodge took a closer look at the data being sent by Samsung smart TVs. Remember how Samsung and other smart TV manufacturers, LG for example, got heat for the use of cloud services to analyze voice data to support their voice recognition feature. David collected network traffic sent by the TV and found that Samsung TVs not only sent all the data people were worried about essentially, but it would also send it unencrypted. He also found that the data is only sent if the TV is first instructed to listen. So voice data isn't sent all the time, but there's sort of a keyword like "Hey TV," I think it is for Samsung, that starts the voice recognition, and with that you essentially start the transmission of data to the cloud, which in this case turned out to be Nuance's cloud. Nuance is a big voice recognition provider. They're working with a number of manufacturers, and I think even Apple's Siri system is someone based on their technology. The protocol that was being used wasn't HTTP, it was sort of a mix of binary and ASCII data, but they were able to decode the voice data that was sent to Nuance just by using network captures. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.